To me, though, are we forgetting about the first quarterback ever to throw for 300 yards, rush for 70 yards in a Super Bowl? Are we forgetting about the guy who led an offense to the most points ever in a Super Bowl loss? You know, it's almost like this franchise just wants to change who this guy is and how he probably should have a Vince Lombardi trophy in his hands if it wasn't for his defense and special teams. And that's what frustrates me. I'm like, why don't you just keep trying to run it back with this guy and get the most out you can for the 5 to 7 years you're going to have good Jalen Hurts?
Welcome back in, everybody, to Tuesday's edition of Birds 365, joined now by Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Jeff Kerr, how you doing this morning, man? Nice to see you.
Just enjoying the whole Phillies don't play anybody fallout and, you know, assault on Caitlin Clark. But besides that, you know.
The Caitlin Clark, yeah. let's stay away from that.
Well, the WNBA got what they needed, though. They got their villain. They got their hero. So that's what makes good storylines.
Yeah, and the league itself should recognize, hey, you're getting some eyeballs on you. Maybe embrace it a little bit, but I digress.
Or do a backstory on Kenny Carter while they're at it.
I digress. Yeah. What were you doing in Erie? What were you driving by the Erie Civic Center? I need to know.
I was bowling this weekend, John McCoy.
Oh, all right. There we go. Now it makes
bowling
sense.
Tournament this weekend. Didn't do well. I was like Jalen Hurts in 2023, just not that great.
Not your best effort, Jeff.
Flashes of brilliance, but at the end of the day, gotta go back to the film room.
All right. Yeah. You need some new ideas, some fresh ideas to get your bowling game back on track. And that's what the Eagles have done with Jalen Hurts. It's been ugly. All we can talk about is what we've seen, Jeff. But is this a surprise? I think we all assume there's so much talent on this offense. I mentioned before you came on, they'll just roll the footballs out there. It's been kind of ugly early in the process. Should we have expected that maybe a little bit more?
Yeah, I think so. So I've noticed this just from watching the two practices, and it's Jalen and Kenny Pickett. The Eagles are really trying to work on those two throwing to the middle of the field, because last year the two quarterbacks who threw to the middle of the field the least were, in order, Jalen Hurts and Kenny Pickett. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of pre-snap reads with this team. I think Jalen, they're trying to get Jalen back to that. They're trying to get Kenny involved in that. I mean, it is a practice, and, you know, practices. Yeah. So, you know, we got to keep in context here, but.
Well, baseball, I compare it to the baseball pitcher working on a new pitch in spring training, and everybody gets rocked, and everybody's like, oh, what's wrong with so-and-so? He's working on something. He's trying to do something. But my concern is, like at the second OTA, Jeff, they were throwing underneath to the point where you said, all right, they're trying to work on this. They're trying to get this improved. And then I start to think that's fine with Kenny Pickett. That's fine with Tanner McKee. But I get the sense, and I've used the Brock Purdy example because of my old co-host, my old buddy, Jody Mack, loved Brock Purdy, biggest Brock Purdy fan on the planet. There's too many people in my estimation that want to turn Jalen Hurts into Brock Purdy, which is stupid to me. I hope it's not the Eagles.
I said the same thing on WIP last night with Robin Ashland. You know, it's too many, and it's not just the Eagles. It's the entire league. Everybody all of a sudden wants to be Brock Purdy. Well, there's only one Brock Purdy. I don't know why teams are – you know, taking stuff away from Jalen Hurts that isn't why he got $51 million a year. Let this guy be Jalen. Let him be this star quarterback that you developed in 2021 and 2022. Like, I mean, the guy had a stretch where he won, 29 out of 31 games? Like, he didn't do that just by being a point guard. He did that by running the football, by extending the play, by going deep. Just keep doing that.
Yeah, I think it's weird, though, because the Eagles have kind of – they're the one team with the star quarterback that is building their team I'm not going to say the exact same way the Niners, but they're the two teams that have stacked their offensive side of the ball with playmakers all over the place. And you look in Kansas City, they're getting rid of Tyreek Hill. The Bills get rid of Stephon Diggs. All these other, you know, Joe Burrow doesn't have an all. Now, he's got great players too, but my point is, I think a lot of people naturally default to when you have Saquon, AJ, Devontae, Dallas, it's like, how do you get them all involved? You get the ball out in 2 seconds every play, you know? So I think some of it comes from that, but I do agree. If you want to maximize Jalen Hurts, you have to put Jalen Hurts in the best position for him to succeed, and that's not being Brock Purdy.
Exactly. And, you know, are you trying to make Joe Burrow Brock Purdy? No. Kansas City kind of had to make Patrick Mahomes that last year because they didn't have a deep threat. Now they can let him be Patrick Mahomes again. I just think we're getting too caught up in, look at what Brock Purdy's doing over a year and a half, and why is this working in San Francisco but not anywhere else? And I always like to point out that, look, I'm not being a hater here, but how many championships does San Francisco have with this genius scheme?
Zero.
Yeah. But I can count on my hand how many Super Bowls Kyle Shanahan's blown over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they've gotten very close. And to me, I hate that. I'm not picking on you, Jeff, but I hate that litmus test of championships. I mean, they've been very good. They're in the Andy stage of when Andy was here, it was about, all right, let's be good every year, and then maybe the stars will align. We'll win one. Didn't happen here. Obviously, it's happened a number of times.
Has happened, though.
Yeah. Has happened. That's what you do. I mean, you try to build a consistent winner. They've done that. So to me, it's worked. But, you know, and I should have brought this up in our opening segment when Xander brought up the assistant coaches and what stood out to me. One thing Doug Nussmeier talked about in the passing game is that 2.3 seconds, and he tried to back off it, you know, and he called it the progression phase. It's, you know, minus 2.3, the extended phase. Scramble to pass is plus 2.3. You know, they seem to want to get the football out of his hands.
Yeah. See, they tried to do that with Justin Herbert last year, and it worked for when he threw to Keenan Allen, but I wonder if things would have changed if Mike Williams was healthy the whole season.
Yeah, but wasn't Jalen Hurts better in 22 when he got the ball out quicker?
Yeah, but it was like, what was it, Jeff? Like 2.8?
Yeah. It wasn't 2.3. Down
brought it up. Yeah, it was 2.8. 2.3 is quick. 2.3 is like
2.3 is Brock Burke. 2.3, yeah. Get the ball out of the hand because you can't make a damn play. Get the ball in the hands of Christian McCaffrey. Get the ball in the hands of Deebo Samuel. Get the ball in the hands of Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, but can you chalk it up to an overemphasis on the shorter so that it forces Jalen to be thinking about quicker decisions? Because sometimes you do see, like when there's a blitz from the cornerbacks or something, Jalen gets his default setting right now is to tuck and run outside to the right. Are they trying to break that a little bit?
It's about winning games. So I get it. But I mean, am I really paying $255 million for a guy that I don't want the football in his hands? Is that where we are?
Yeah. This is a guy who's averaged over 5 yards per carry. Like, he's a running quarterback. You know what? This is what upset me when the Eagles had Donovan McNabb all these years ago. They wanted to make him something he wasn't, and all it did was make Donovan fatter and not as mobile. And that's not going to happen to Jalen. He's not going to get fatter. But why would you take away that part of his game? The Ravens aren't doing this with Lamar. In fact, Lamar's going to run more this year.
Yeah, I love watching TJ McConnell in the playoffs. I loved when he was here with the Sixers, such a scrappy player, and he's turned into such a good NBA player from basically nothing, and everybody thought he was a joke. But I don't want Jalen Hurts to be TJ McConnell. I mean, I'm concerned about what's going on here. Maybe I'm overreacting, but Doug Nussmeier is the one who brought up the 2.3 thing, and he's brought it up because, you know, then I said, that's interesting. Let me Google. He's been talking about it for years. you have a different quarterback. Should you still be talking about it?
John, I compare this to you have a Ferrari. Are you really going to drive the Ferrari 60 miles per hour?
Yeah, exactly.
Drive it like a Civic.
Yeah. Hey, I had a Civic at one point there, Xander. What?
I mean, if you have to do it, that's fine. And I get it. And that's probably, you know, it's one thing. Kellen Moore was a quarterback, was a great quarterback in college at Boise State. Doug Nussmeier was a great quarterback in college at Idaho, I believe. They were great college quarterbacks. And they made it to the pros. And they were backups. And, you know, they're very smart, obviously. They're very cerebral. They get into the coaching profession. They understand the position. But sometimes I think they understand what was successful for them. And that's, in a lot of ways, the most difficult part, because not everybody's the same.
And that's sports too, right? I feel like a lot of coaches tend to do the Kellen Moore, Doug Nussmeier thing, where it's, okay, it worked for me, it's going to work for you. If I have more talent, I'd be this. Well, sometimes that's just not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get concerned.
What if it makes Jalen Hurts a better quarterback down the line? And I know he's a great quarterback. He's got great athleticism and great talent, but quarterbacks get better over their career. Tom Brady got better. He was not the same quarterback in year 15 as he was in year 4. We're still young in Jalen's career. If they're forcing him to do this, and then you add in the playmaking ability he has, he becomes a true dual threat in a way that defenses can't stop it, even if they know it's coming. But right now, if he doesn't have that other part of his game, you know, you could, I guess someone could make an argument that that's part of the reason the offense gets stagnant.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. To me, though, are we forgetting about the first quarterback ever to throw for 300 yards, rush for 70 yards in a Super Bowl? Are we forgetting about the guy who led an offense to the most points ever in a Super Bowl loss? You know, it's almost like this franchise just wants to change who this guy is and how he probably should have a Vince Lombardi trophy in his hands if it wasn't for his defense and special teams. And that's what frustrates me. I'm like, why don't you just keep trying to run it back with this guy and get the most out you can from him for the 5 to 7 years you're going to have?
That's exactly where I am. And to be fair, I want to be fair to Doug Nussmeier, because he talked about two phases, the progression phase, which is, as I mentioned, but I want to emphasize, minus 2.3 seconds. Extended phase plus 2.3 seconds. So he is coaching, we called it structured chaos of quarterbacks and wide receivers with the extended play. So he is coaching that. I don't want to, but there seems to be more emphasis on the first 2.3 and getting the football out of their hands when we're watching in practice and everything's underneath and guys are jumping routes and there's pick sixes. Again, it's May. It doesn't mean anything. It's a passing camp. The defense knows what's coming. It's going to be different when the run game's involved. Saquon Barkley's not even freaking involved. There's no pads. It's going to be different. It's going to be more difficult. Devontae Smith is going to be out there. And the talent ultimately is going to take over. I do think the floor for this offense isn't very low. I think they have too much talent. They're going to be good. But I just don't like where things are going with Jalen Hurts. I get this impression that they want the football out of his hands, which it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
to me.
You know, I used to joke for years and years and years about Dak Prescott, dink and dunk Dak, because he got rid of the football quick. And I'm like, well, you can't dink and dunk your way all the way to a Super Bowl. You just can't. And
really, because Tom Brady did.
In his 40s.
Well, 40s or 20s.
Tom Brady also
that, you know, I'm laughing about, are we turning him into Brock Purdy? Now we're turning him to Tom Brady?
No, I'm just saying that style. I'm not saying.
Well, Tom Brady also had an arm, too. Like,
I think Jalen would benefit sometimes from taking what's given to him. Make the game easier for him. And I think maybe there's some philosophy there that the Eagles are trying to instill in him. You don't always need to make the play. It's great to have in the toolbox, but remember, it's a long season. It's a 17-game season. the war of attrition matters in the NFL. If we get to the playoffs and you have a bum knee because you wanted to run in week six, you know, maybe that's not the most productive way to build the football team.
Yeah, but guys are going to get hurt. I mean, that's just
the you can't legislate injuries. So, I get that, but
this is my thing. Jalen Hurts had a 121 passer rating 2 years ago when he threw passes 25 plus air yards or more. That was clearly number one in the NFL because he was going AJ Brown deep. He was going to Devonta Smith deep. Right. Last year, that fell in the 80s. Why? Because all of a sudden, the Eagles decided in their infinite wisdom, why don't we try going Quez Watkins deep? Because we got to give Quez Watkins the football. How about we give our good players the football?
Well, yeah, that's another one I get into. Yeah. We got to get so-and-so involved. No, you don't.
No, you don't. Exactly. I don't care if Quez Watkins ever touched a football.
Yeah. Yeah. That to me is like, all right, you know, the Bulls in their prime. Don't give it to Michael Jordan.
You know what? Maybe they should give it to Luke Longley and see if he can get going.
You got to get Luke Longley involved. You know, guys like that, John Paxson back in the day making big shots. They get involved in the blow of the game. The Eagles' complimentary playmakers should get involved. And when the play comes their way, they got to make it. Quez too often didn't do that. And that's why they're going in a different direction.
And I defended it in 2022 because early in the season, Quez was making those plays. And you had a right to go back to him. But you could tell later in the season, don't give this guy the football. I mean, he caused Gardner Minshew against Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they should have won that game. Now, Gardner came back the next game against New Orleans and played poorly. But they should have. Gardner played very well in that Dallas game. And Quez twice left him hanging out to dry. So you're right about that. I didn't mean to go down this Jalen Hurts route, which is going to be obviously controversial. So, you know, if people don't like it when you criticize the quarterback. I'm not criticizing the quarterback. I'm criticizing everybody else who thinks they have to do these things for the quarterback and turn them into essentially a glorified point guard, as you mentioned, Jeff. I brought it up before when Nick Sirianni calls him unique, and I'm not taking away his superpower.
You kind of are.
I think they're trying to take away his superpower.
No, but when the defense knows what the superpower is, and you can give him more tools in the toolbox, you know, by pushing him in May and June to be that a different style of quarterback. So when the time comes, he has options. He has things he can do, or he's seen different things. He knows how to handle a blitz. Or if they're taking away
so Superman, take off the damn cape and just walk around like a normal human being because they know.
No, I don't
coming.
Think it's being a normal you human know, being.
I was going to go with different Superman references.
I'm exaggerating. He's not Superman, by the way.
I know what you're saying. I'm giving him credit for being able to, at least I believe he has the ability to get proficient in the other style of play as well. And I think overall it would help him in the long term. I know what you guys are saying. You want Jalen Hurts to be Jalen Hurts and take advantage of what Jalen Hurts brings. But sometimes the defense can take away what Jalen Hurts brings.
I'm just going to say this. So the Buffalo Bills tried doing this with Josh Allen a couple times and it ultimately costs the offensive coordinator his job because we don't want Josh running as much as we do. He's going to get hurt. Well, Josh never did get hurt. They limited him. And then Joe Brady came in and said, no, Josh, I'll tell you what, you are going to run. Oh, by the way, we got James Cook too, so he's going to help you out. You're just not going to run as much, but you are going to run. And it's funny how all of a sudden the Bills ended up winning what, their last six or five of their last six after the Eagles lost?
Yeah, it's very strange to me. It's always off-season talk, and I don't mind it coming from, you know, fans or people like us, or, you know, that's what we do. It's what we have to do. But it's bothering me because I get the feeling from inside the NovaCare Cup. That's what's bothering me. Like, I don't give a shit what fans say. I don't give a shit. even what we say to the point of.
I was going
to
say, do you give a shit what anybody says?
Well, no, in other words, what I'm trying to say is we don't matter. You know, I just try to give the people as much information as I can. But ultimately, I don't make decisions on this team or about this team.
We just observe. And yeah. I don't like what I'm observing. I agree with you there,
Tom. Exactly. And that's my point. I don't like the way it's going. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But
I do like them targeting the middle of the field more. I will say that. I think that needs to be addressed with the quarterback. And I think they're doing that with both Hurts and Pickett. It's just the whole – I'm already kind of tired of the social media narrative, especially coming out of the western side of the state. I had people ask me this weekend, was Kenny Pickett really going to take over the job for Jalen Hurts? Like, what are you talking about?
That's
where do you guys get your info?
That's Ed Kratz's fault.
Let's play Mr. Overreaction.
We're going to yell at him later. We're going to.
My last point on this is I don't think forcing Jalen in May and June to be a different style of quarterback takes away what he's great at. Just because you're making him get the ball out quick doesn't take away that he's explosive as a runner and a big play type of player. But if you add it, you might make him a better overall package that will serve you better later in the season. That's how I see it, or at least maybe how the Eagles are seeing it. I'm not sure, but I do understand what you guys are saying about accentuating.
Well, I have no problem. If he's working on a pitch in spring training, I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it, and just scrap it when the time comes to scrap it. That's all I'm asking. Yeah, my concern is they want it to happen.
It could go two ways. It could go the Zach Wheeler way. I'll use my baseball analogy. Go Zach Wheeler way. You're working on a splitter. You admit I'm working on it. Not really sure how much I'm going to use it in the regular season, but it tends to work for you. And so now you're going to throw it more. Or you go the Taiwan Walker route where you have a diminished fastball. Your splitter isn't working, so you're trying to throw other pitches, and they're flat in the zone, and you get rocked. I'm just hoping he's not Taiwan Walker.
Yeah, I mean
– one more thing, and John, I'll ask you and Jeff this. Doesn't the hiring of Kellen Moore kind of – maybe not, but doesn't it kind of allude to the fact that they want Jalen Hurts to evolve his game? He's not the kind of coordinator that they could have hired that would fit his exact skill set. He's particularly had passing quarterbacks, pocket passing quarterbacks. Now, that's not to say he's not going to be a good coordinator with a different kind of quarterback, but you could argue they brought in Kellen Moore to help advance Jalen Hurts' other areas of his game, the passing, the getting the ball out, the dump offs, the middle of the field, stuff like that. Fair to say?
I've been covering this league for too long. Kellen Moore's here because the Eagles shit the bed. No other reason. No other reason. To shitting the bed.
Yeah, it was. We have to blame somebody.
Yeah, scapegoating. Brian Johnson.
Yep. Who Washington loves, by the way. I know it's May.
The Eagles loved him right up until they didn't.
Yep.
Somebody had to pay, and somebody paid, and somebody else had to come in. And look at the dichotomy. I don't know if they wanted to hire Cliff Kingsbury, but that's a guy they interviewed first, and there's talk, and there's significant talk that he wanted too much input on the offensive staff as why he was removed. Not that they were going to hire him, but he was removed from the process. I've been talking about this, Xander, you know, and Jeff, I probably talked about it with you. It strikes me as straddling the fence. All right, we don't want to fire Nick, and Nick can keep all his guys, but we're going to bring in these two guys over here because we got to blame this guy over here. It's got nothing to do with maximizing Jalen Hurts.
It kind of feels like when Andy Reid switched Juan Castillo from offensive line coach to defensive coordinator. But we're going to make sure Todd Bowles is here too, in case it all just falls flat on their face, and it did.
And if you truly wanted to maximize Jalen Hurts, Cliff Kingsbury would probably be here.
You know, I thought the scapegoat was the right scapegoat. They just did it in week 15, and they should have just did it after the season and said, look, this isn't working out. Sean Desai, we want Vic Fangio. We have a chance to get Vic Fangio.
Yeah, I'm with you. They shouldn't have done it in season, but I'm fine if they would have moved on, because I think the Sean Desai stuff had more to do with connecting with players and
it did.
Just getting his
message. Yeah, but I will say, I mean, I'm not a Sean Desai lover or a hater.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
By any means, but the team was winning a lot more football games when Sean Desai was calling.
Yeah, play. And they were better with Sean
so
Desai.
So, maybe they would have fell off a cliff with Sean Desai too, but I don't know. Sean Desai, honestly.
Even if they win more football games, like you said, and say they lose a round later, they had every right to get rid of him just based on
how. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying they didn't have a right to get rid of him. I just think that
I agree with you. I was just adding on.
The more I look at it and the further we get away from it, the more stupid it looks to me in hindsight.
All right. I'm going to stop angering people. I want to ask you, Jeff, the shoe dropped, the Justin Jefferson shoe finally dropped.
About time.
And Joe Banner's immediately out there. God, I love Joe. Joe's awesome. You know, Devontae Smith should fire his agent. Maybe he should.
Maybe he should hire Drew Rosenhaus, since, you know, Joe Banner always did so well working with him and popular client of his.
How did the Eagles get this done? Is it just about having players that are willing to take less?
I think that's part of it.
They seem to get it done, and nobody else gets it done, and everybody else has got to pay a tax. And seems now like the market has
it's a culture thing, right? Is the grass really greener on the other side? Do I really want to kind of upset this organization that I already like? And maybe Devonta Smith's just like me, you know, hey, give me $25 million a year. I'll take that.
Now, how much money do you need?
Yeah, the interesting thing is, though, he's represented by Clutch Sports. Clutch Sports is not notorious for taking haircuts for the betterment of teams. I mean, and look, they're an agency. Their job is to go and get more money. I'm not criticizing them by any means, but I do think maybe it was Devontae Smith here. Maybe it was Devontae saying, I know the market's going to explode. I'm good getting $25 million on my three-year deal. Where I think Devontae got burned was that they worked the fifth-year option into the deal, and that lowers his averages, and it also locks him in a lot more. Like, Justin Jefferson's not, his fifth year option's not in that deal. He's about to get paid quick, and he's going to be back on the market when he's 28. Devontae Smith kind of from that perspective. But I do think, you know, John, you always say it takes two to tango, and I think Devontae Smith, maybe, I don't want to say he overruled his agent, but I think any agent with a brain, I mean, I'm sitting here on Birds 365. I knew the wide receiver market was going to explode.
I asked him at his press. I go, you know, you could have waited and gotten a heck of a lot more. It's pretty amazing. So, you know, Eagles fans who criticize certain guys, AJ, you maybe should rethink that, because he could have gotten a lot more money if he would have waited. Same thing with Devontae Smith. Same thing with Landon Dickerson. Same thing with Jake Elliott. Same thing with all of them.
You know what, John? My biggest concern hanging to the offseason regarding player contracts was A.J. Brown settled it before on draft night. It was, how's A.J. Brown going to get paid even more guaranteed money after this season when that runs out? Is it going to be an issue? Is it not going to be an issue? Is AJ going to hold this franchise for ransom? And it never happened. And I'm glad. And that's credit to AJ Brown, the player, for A, wanting to be here, and B, just setting the market before it was going to be reset.
Yeah. And I think that's Howie Roseman. That's the genius of Howie Roseman too. I would bet that Howie Roseman initiated that extension before.
And he should.
If you guys remember a few short months ago, Nobody was talking about A.J. Brown getting extended this year. He's still a 2 year left on the deal.
No.
That wasn't even a talking point. It wasn't even a thing to look for.
And it was funny, Xander, because if you read the contract, you would have had to give him an extension within the next year or two. And the Eagles
With 1 year left, I think is what people would have expected. You know, but Howie probably knew, look, these guys are up for their contracts. If I can jump ahead of this, even paying $32 million, it's going to be a steal in a year. And it is. And that's where we have such an advantage with Howie Roseman that you just it's amazing.
John, do you want to hear something really funny from social media yesterday? I decided to dig in the rabbit hole, not respond to replies, but read them. And a lot of it's when I made the tweet about Cowboys fans, or not Cowboys fans, like, what are the Cowboys doing? Waiting for Prescott, waiting for Lamb. And a Cowboys fan actually said that, you wish your team had that problem. What problem? What problem? I'm like, you want to pay CeeDee Lamb $40 million a year? You want to pay your quarterback $60 million a year? Oh, by the way, you got to pay Micah too. You just want those three players and nothing else around
them? Yeah, I think he didn't understand your point. But, that's sometimes. Fans love their teams. Nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, I mean, the Eagles. And by the way, it's Joe Banner. Joe Banner started this, not Howie Roseman. Howie learned it from Joe Banner. He was the one who sort of set the NFL tour on this path, and not enough people, just ask Joe, he'll tell you, not enough people will have copied them.
In fairness to Joe with the whole T.O. contract, T.O. did get rid of his agent who gave him his initial deal with the Eagles.
Now, Jeff, at Jeff Kerr CBS, make sure you follow Jeff on X, Twitter, read him at CBSSports.com. Eagles signed a guard with 33 career starts, 38 actually, if you include the playoffs. So playoff starting experience. At this point, the eve of minicamp, what were your first thoughts of them doing that at this point? Because I didn't go to Tyler Steen. I went to the other guys. I'm like, they're probably not happy with Matt Hennessy. They're probably Trevor Keegan's not ready. Is that where you went, or did you go in a different direction?
No, I kind of went. So I look back at 2017, right? Remember in 2017, they had Isaac Seumalo at left guard. He didn't play well. He got hurt. And remember who got the first crack? It was Chance Warmack. Who signed earlier. And the Eagles kind of knew at the time, it's like, okay, maybe this guy ain't it. We'll bring in Stefan Wisniewski again, old faithful. And he ended up being the starting left guard on that Super Bowl team. So maybe that's what I'm thinking Max Sharping's going to be. All right, this guy's old faithful, old reliable. If something does happen to Tyler Steen, or Tyler Steen doesn't cut it, we might have this guy available.
Yeah, it's a bolstering of depth to me. That's how I saw it. You know, Jeff, any takeaways yesterday? Just moving on from Sharping. Any takeaways yesterday from the assistant coaches that spoke? I thought there was some pretty good stuff from Clint Hurt on Jordan Davis. I thought Doug Nussmeier's comments on the continuity in the offense and the clean operation that they seem to be emphasizing, I thought that was pretty good. But anything you took away from the assistant coaches yesterday?
I could listen to Jeff Stoutland speak for 5 hours.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, that was like the one where you're just like, okay, just don't even ask him a question. Just kind of sit there and listen to the guy and
talk football.
Yeah, listen to the maestro do his work.
Yeah, Jeff's great. Stout's great. You know, I thought it was interesting. Stout is the most honest football coach of all time. I always say he can't lie. It's not in his.
You know what, John? As you and I both know, the honest coaches are the ones that.
Yeah.
You know, that players respect the most.
Yeah, but to go higher to be a head coach, there's got to be a political element. He doesn't have it. He doesn't. Not that he wants to. He's always he loves coaching offensive line, but. You know, one thing you said that struck out to me, because I go back to Jordan Mailata, I was telling Xander the story. You know, we happened to get Stout the week before Jalen, right before. I don't know if it was a week before. It might have been 10 days, but it had to be very close because It was about Jordan Mailata was about to start his first game because of injury, and he was going against Nick Bosa. And we're all like, oh, this is going to be ugly. And it was nothing ugly. He got beat a couple times, but he held up very well. And before the game, we asked out, is he ready? Is he ready to play? And he's like, I don't know. I hope. But he, you know, so for all those guys dunking the football, I said Jordan Mailata was going to be this. I said, well, the guy who coached him for years had no idea. And, you know, maybe it's just that last step of the mentality of it. You know, are you going to be able to handle getting beat by Nick Bosa? And Jordan Mailata passed every test, and he's turned into.
Maybe Jeff Stout was thinking there's a big difference against going against Derek Barnett in practice than there was Nick Bosa.
Well, that nice shot.
Can't replicate game rep.
Yeah, every coach knows that. And but the point I'm trying to make is the honesty part of it from Stout, but also, you know, when he talked about Cam Jurgens, that's what I took away. I know everybody, and the Kelsey stuff was great, and I get why everybody's focused on it. But when he talked about Cam, he was like, I didn't know if he could play guard, essentially. I had no idea. But he essentially, I know he can play center. So I think there's a lot of concern about Cam Jurgens. Can he take over? He's not going to be Jason Kelsey, but he's going to be a very good center in this league. Very competent.
I am not worried about Cam Jurgens. The guy next to his right, I worry about a little bit, but not Cam.
Yeah, and I think the same thing, and that's why part of the reason they're trying to get some depth. And you bring up the Super Bowl season. You're right about Wiz and Isaac. You know, people kind of forget they wanted Isaac to take that job, and Isaac eventually became a very good player, but it takes some time. And it might take Tyler Steen some time. And I have guys who've started 38 NFL games, 5 playoff games. Not a bad way to go. Not a bad safety net.
I actually, last week, I watched NFL Network had on the Chiefs-Texans playoff game where Houston was up 24-0 before Kansas City just decided to assault them.
What a game.
By the way, there was one player who did play well for Houston that game, even when they were getting annihilated. Max Sharping, of all people. He started that game.
Yeah.
NFL Network does a great job at replaying some of the best games of the year. And when you just flick them on in the offseason, I always.
You know what's funny, Xander? I'd rather watch that than Good Morning Football.
Yeah, I love the – I tell you, John, I got – it's great sometimes, but then so other times they put on the Eagles getting plastered by the Buccaneers in the playoffs, and I get back off my
high. Gotta watch it. Gotta live through it.
Yeah, play more 90s games, NFL Network. I'm begging you. Put on the good announcers.
That's exactly what I would expect Jeff Kerr to want them to play, an old football historian.
Play that game against Green Bay where it was ugly and they won 10-7 and –
Yeah, Bobby King was talking about Dick Butkus yesterday, and you know, somebody asked him, "Hey, who's comparable to Dick Butkus?" And he's like,
"There is."
You can't play like Dick Butkus today. You can't. You'd be fined 25 times before halftime.
At least we know Bobby King is being honest up there. Because
the closest guy I can ever think to maybe being Dick Butkus in the modern era just got in the Hall of Fame, Patrick Willis.
There's no Dick Butkus. Yeah, Ray Lewis, you know, he'll be – even those guys, the game has changed. There's no Patrick Willises.
There's no Navarro Bowman's either.
Yeah.
Don't exist anymore.
Now you're looking at 220-pound middle linebackers.
Burlackers, yeah.
Hey, we got to start being like Ed Kratz, John, and I make our reactions to the NFL. I got to start being like Ed and make every reaction to OTAs. So.
Yeah, get all the Pittsburgh people fired up.
Yeah, Ed Kratz reported this. I'm like, well – technically, he didn't.
Yeah. The title of the piece was Overreaction, but everybody missed that part.
It was a great piece too. It didn't compute in my head till a week later. Initially, Ed's article that I read and skimmed through, and it was like, oh, cool.
Kenny came back to earth though at the second OTA. He must have read his own headlines, and it all came.
Well, everybody came back to life. All the quarterbacks, Tanner McKee came back to everybody played.
Well, that's why I was curious to hear what Doug Nussmeier had to say yesterday. Did anything stick out, like why these guys are? But you know, I guess
my overreaction to the second OTA was make Isaiah Rodgers CB2, baby.
Yeah. They asked what's his name about that?
Bradbury. Yeah, Bradbury's now, it looks like he's gonna show up. I mean, we're keeping you late, but what the hell, Jeff? I think there could be more harm than good. I mean, you have all these young cornerbacks, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Isaiah Rogers, still young.
Ili Ringo.
And coming back all 500 days of inactivity, Kaylee Ringo, Eli Ricks, even if you want to go down to Josh Joe, you're taking reps away from those guys that need reps. I don't know if it's the best way to go about it. You know he's not going to be here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If he's here, he might as well be here in July. He might as well be here in August.
Well, if he's here, he's starting. And that's
well, yeah, because yeah, he really, can't be a backup.
You yeah. really want to press pause on Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean and Kaylee Ringo.
Yeah, there's also a domino effect. You know, it's not just Isaiah Rogers. Everybody yeah. gets pushed down a rung.
You know, I don't worry about Mitchell and DeJean as much because they are rookies. And sometimes I feel like you're better off having the rookie sit early. But Kaylee Ringo, I have an issue with it. Eli Ricks, Isaiah Rogers, because this is their opportunity to actually play and do something. I mean, Mitchell and DeJean, you know they're the future, but they can sit a year and develop if you need to. Kind of like how the Eagles did with Ringo. I know there were other reasons to play why Ringo didn't play right away, but same with Ricks. But this is their year. They've built up toward this. Isaiah Rogers, he's been a starter in this league. Give these guys an opportunity. We kind of, as much as I say James Bradbury can't be any worse than he was last year, it's still hindering someone's development.
100%. Yeah. But I will say, if Bradbury does end up being here, I think he's going to have a good year. I don't think he'll be here, but if he does, I think
the I've been saying that for months. Yeah. I wouldn't have drafted a corner. Now, again, the board fell the way if one of the tackles they liked with some guard versatility fell to 22, I think that's the way they would have went.
Yeah, even if Cooper DeJean was selected before 40, you know, and they didn't have a chance to go and get him, maybe then.
There's a certain guy that Pittsburgh took in the first round. I think the Eagles would have gladly taken.
Yeah, I think, you know, but Andy White will beat him to the punch, and I think they shipped it, and I have no problem with them shifting. But once you ship, and then you get Cooper in the second round, which even highlights it even more. No, you can't keep James Bradbury. But, you know, they're going down this route for a day three conditional pick, you know, push it down the road. Is it worth it? I don't know.
It's almost like you have to get something for it. No, you don't. You signed into a bad contract, own it and eat it.
You got something from him. You got an all-pro season. Say thank you. Thank you for the season. Move on.
Those explanations seem so correct to me. That's why I'm wondering if Howie Roseman is just not thinking like that. There's no reason to hold him out for a seventh round pick or a sixth round pick conditional or whatever he's trying to get from him. Move on from him if you want to move on from him. Put your young guys in practice. Get that. There's like the coach yesterday said, there's only so many reps in the summer. You have to maximize each rep. But every time he shows up, you're taking away reps from young guys. Unless you want Bradbury to be here, I don't see why they would keep bringing him back.
By the way, this is always going to be my memory of James Bradbury etched in my head. And it was a penalty, but I've told people this in that Chiefs organization. I don't care what you say. Juju wasn't catching that football. It was an uncatchable football. It was a penalty, yes, but were more egregious plays that were penalties in that game.
Take accountability, Chip. Come on. James did it.
He did it. He admitted he did it.
And by the way, Christian Parker said the same thing. I've been saying it. Ultimate professional. Tremendous guy. I did it. I hope they didn't call it. They called it.
Yeah,
he did. Turn the page.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'm not a Bradbury hater. I like James Bradbury. I thought he played great for us in 2022. That was an unfortunate end to his season, but yeah, it was ticky-tack.
There's going to be a team that is going to love having James Bradbury on next year if he's not in Philadelphia.
I think he has that professional mindset where he's going to help the young guys how, you know, however they need to be helped or whatever. And he's going to, in a way, it's a, show me, don't tell me. He'll show them how to be a true professional.
It's difficult for me because I think he's a perfect fit for Vic.
He is. The whole zone defense and everything. That's why I kind of agree with you, John. Like, do they really need to draft a corner? I know one fell to him, but also my other thought on James Bradbury is too. I, for years, and I still do it, just absolutely shit on the Giants organization. Everybody said I got nothing to back it up. I said, yes, I do. James Bradbury and Saquon Barkley. The stories you hear, and not even directly from them, but just when you – in press conferences and just how they absolutely – I know Saquon hasn't played the game yet here, but how much they are comparing the Eagles to the Giants right now. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Well, you see Brian Daboll and his coaching staff. I mean, to me, it don't even get down to the players. They've been a mess. They were one of the best organizations in the NFL for years with Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, and go back even further.
Yeah. I don't know why they did what they did with Coughlin.
And they've had a really difficult time. Since those guys left, I thought they were getting right with when they first hired Daboll and Joe Shane, but it's been a disaster. And it has nothing to do with Saquon Barkley. That's one of the few correct moves they've made. I hate to say it to Eagles fans. He's worthless to that particular team. I'm not saying he's worthless to the Eagles because the Eagles are ready to win. For that team, worthless. He proved he couldn't elevate them. So why are you bringing him back?
The only year he elevated them was 2022 when they were over-relied on.
Yeah. And even that, Daniel Jones played very well that year. His rookie season, he elevated them.
He was tremendous his rookie
season. But then he tore his ACL. Yeah,
by the way, I hate to be – because I am one of the bigger Saquon Barkley fans on this planet, but – my biggest criticism was at Penn State, he never took the 3 yards. He always tried to get 33 instead of three.
Familiar. There's another Penn State back who had that mentality. Funny how that works.
And you know what?
Right here in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? Let's just bring the Penn State running backs in, though. They seem to do well when they're here.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. Jeff, thanks. We got to run, man. We went way over with you. We appreciate your extra time and sticking it out and having some good talk with us. We'll talk to you soon. Make sure you guys follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff Kerr, CBS. Read all his work at CBS Sports. Does a tremendous job for them. Jeff, thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
Jeff Kerr joining us on Birds 365. We'll take a commercial break. Coming up next, Ed Kratz. We'll have Ed Kratz right after the commercial break. Went long with Jeff, so we won't have much time for Johnny Mac and I to chop anything up, but we'll have Ed Kratz coming up next. One thing I want to get to, John, before I go to a break. And there's some expletives in this comment, but I like it. You do not make that effing call in a Super Bowl to end the game on James Bradbury. I get it. I agree with the accountability point where he did do it, but that's the feeling in my gut. So, like, and the only reason I bring that up is because I don't hate James Bradbury for it. Like, some people are like, oh, I hate a player because he cost us this game. I don't view it like that. I didn't view it like it was all on James Bradbury in that game. I thought there were some other things that happened in that game that were even more important than that, but I like James Bradbury. I'll die on that hill. I'm a fan of James Bradbury. I think he's great.
I say it to all fans, learn from James. Take accountability. You get calls too. It's not about that.
But don't you kind of agree ending the Super Bowl and that's a little ticky tack?
No.
Really?
No. It was, cover, don't blow coverages. Cover a punt. Punt well.
Never argue that call could be made on every play of the game.
I never blame officials. Ever, ever, ever. You will never hear me blame officials. NFL coaches teach from day one, control what you can control. James Bradbury said it flatly. It was a penalty. I hope they didn't call it. It's one of those savvy things veteran players do. They hold all the time. They reach, they grab, they saw the jersey. When the jersey comes out, sometimes they call it. Sometimes they miss it. He wished they didn't call it. They called it. And I concern blown coverages, blown punt coverage, bad punt. things like that, those are the far more meaningful and impactful points of the game than a penalty that was called.
Yeah, I appreciate the perspective of control what you can control. Blaming the refs is going to get you absolutely nothing like it has for 50 years in sports or even longer. People have been blaming officials forever. It's never done anything. But I'm not going to sit here and say I'm like, oh, that was egregious by James Bradbury. But I agree.
Not egregious. It's a penalty. The guy said it's a penalty. The guy who committed the penalty said it was a penalty. Why are we still having this discussion?
Yeah, I know. We're just talking about James Bradbury, Johnny Mack. I'm trying to get you fired up, and it seems to be working. I'm just kidding. All right, we'll take our next commercial break. We're coming up next. We have Ed Kratz will join us. John's co-patriot at SI.com. Does great work, even stirred the pot a little bit with Kenny Pickett. So we'll see if he can stir the pot some more this week with minicamp. Stay tuned, everybody. Ed Kratz is next on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media Channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.